This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Christine Wong, and you're listening to Enterprise. This is Raise Your Game. Today, I'm speaking to Marsha Ramslin, author of the Simplify Your Life book series and organizing coach for business and life success. We'll be discussing Marsha's 30-day productivity boost webinar, specifically focusing on how to achieve better workflow and productivity. First of all, thank you so much for speaking to us today.
I'm so glad to be here.
Great. So first of all, on a very basic level, what is the concept behind your 30-day productivity boost course?
I have been teaching people to get organized for many years, and I felt there was a need for professionals, particularly in business, to be able to get up to 100% maximum efficiency. And so there are five levels in this course. It's a 30 days each week. There's a new topic and video training, and I take them through these topics so that they can compare themselves and they can, we call it, tweak what's not working really well. And that way they just feel like, oh, I'm on top of my game. I can raise my game. It's just a wonderful asset to get all of your life in balance.
So the aim of the end of the five-week program is basically to iron out all the little folds in your life, I guess.
Exactly. That way, you get a lot of training in business, but you don't get that individualized, personalized training on how am I doing, not just at work, but how am I doing in my life? How am I doing in my work setup? And should I be changing something? And that way you have my eyes on it, and you have an expert looking at your particular situation and problem solving what might be holding you back.
Great. So one thing that I noticed about your program is that it's structured by starting with streamlining your workspace first, then moving to balancing your personal life, and then finally upgrading your financial habits. But I found that quite interesting because usually people tend to say that in order to make change, you should start with personal change first. So what is the rationale behind starting with the workspace first?
It's interesting. We typically come and sit down at our computer or on our phones, and we just get right to work, and we're tuning out everything around us. Well, it's amazing, all the offices I've been going into for so many, 3 decades now, and people have tuned out all the piles of paper, all the clutter around them, and they're trying to concentrate, but meanwhile, their subconscious is fighting them and saying, but you're behind on this, and you set it aside here, and it just feels really stressful. Well, ironically, when we take the time to do that, turn off the computer, I teach them how to clear their workspace, how to get the workflow going, how to get files going if they need them on paper files, on computer files, then they go, I feel so relieved. And that is the goal, is so that they can feel happy, they can feel focused when they come in on their work, and amazingly, their productivity goes up immediately. And it's all because of starting with that workspace. I actually have written a bestseller called Organizing Your Workspace for Productivity Boost. And it's a small guide in the business section on Amazon, and I wrote it as if I was standing with the person. And so the first thing you do, and I'll just give you a couple tips here, is to stand back and take a picture on your phone of your workspace. And it's amazing. We have visual tune out when we walk into our office. But when you see it on your phone, you go, oh my goodness, there's a bunch of stuff here that needs to be filed, put away, given away, shipped, and all of those things that your particular work has to be done. So when people take those pictures and I have them send them to me, and that's how I coach virtually all over the world, is that I can see what they can't see, and then we actually fine-tune that and I solve problems for them on the workspace. And immediately, their productivity goes up once the workspace is cleared up.
Right. So it's interesting that you bring up the desk and office setup because you actually teach people how to create the most efficient desk and office setup. But what constitutes that?
You typically want the front half of your desk to be totally clear. And then one side where you come in to sit down to your work desk every day, that is a side that your incoming papers go. I don't like inboxes. I like people just to have that paper there. But then you're actually taking what's there on the paper and putting it in your computer and assigning it to a time. So pretty much we're moving towards the digital, but sometimes there's still paper. Boss might give you a contract, a report, you go to a meeting, you get handouts, and that's what starts to create the paper pile. Well, I like for people to have it in their file drawer, but actually work off a master list that's on their computer or next to their computer. So whichever you are, handwritten or one, it's digitally, that's the way the work should be. And when you have that list, I call it a master project list, you slot it into the 3 days you can most control, which is today, tomorrow, and the next day. And you put it on a time, and that way, if you don't get it done in that time, you say, I guess Monday morning at 9 o'clock is not a good time for a project. Typically, Monday mornings and Friday afternoons are not good times, but the afternoons like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are good times because that's a little bit more mellow. There's not as many meetings, urgencies, and that's when you can work on the projects that have accumulated or come your way. So when people start to get that workflow going between their computer, the desktop space, it's amazing the freedom that they have. And when you are single focused and you're not subconsciously tuning things out around you, you do so much better. I have walked into offices and companies, and I can almost tell you how profitable the company is by looking at everyone's workspace. And it's not just because it's neat. It's because it's functioning, it's flowing, people are happier, but when you see boxes piled up and all kinds of things stacked in places, you know the people are stressed, they're overworked, and they're running behind, and probably the company bottom line is feeling that as well.
So all of that, is that what you mean when you talk about time and paper collaboration?
Very much. They work together. So you don't want to just be focused on managing your time. You have to manage the workspace. You want to have your goals written out. You want to have those meetings with your team and your staff. And that way, you're single-focused instead of feeling like you're going off into tangents. I need to do this. Oh, there's an email here. I need to respond on a text over here. Our minds handle about 200 items a day, at least. And because of all the inputs that are coming electronically in all different directions. And that causes us to be fragmented. So we need everything as organized and as clear as can be. That is the base. That is the step one. I call it the base of the pyramid of getting someone organized into a more productive mode. And so that's where we, as you mentioned, that's the bottom of the base, the work habits. Secondly is managing time. So once you have all of the workspace organized, then we look at your time tools. And it's amazing how many things we carry in our minds and they're not written down. The tools that people are using can show whether they're proactive in their work or reactive. Reactive means you just respond to email, to calls, to text, but proactive means okay, this is my three projects for the morning. I am going to get them done. And you know the night before when you leave work, this is what I'm going to do first. And that first hour of work, if you have pre-planned the night before, you will be off and running. It's like getting on a jet plane and just zoom, taking off right away. But if you wait till the morning to plan those three things and look at everything that's come in, you probably will be losing that first power hour of the day.
Right. That's so interesting. One of the elements of your time skills help is the concept of 168-hour time tracker, right?
Yes, very much. One of the things I do with clients immediately is to have them download the time tracker. There are 168 hours in a week, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the highly productive people know when they're most productive time is for the various activities that they do in a day. So I have them download it, and then they write the main thing that they did per hour. So we're not doing Monday through Friday work, work, work. We don't just fill it in like that. Did you do admin work? Did you do a project work? Did you do client work? How many sales calls? And we divide it up based on what that person's job is. And then the hours are totaled. And it's amazing that people that think they're working 40 hours a week might be working 50 or 60 hours. And they're wondering why their relationships aren't going very well. Well, there's about maybe 2 hours a day spent with family, and people get irritable, and they're like, why are you working so much? But when you see it in front of you, you can say, oh, I see it. I need to make an adjustment. And people have started to put time boundaries on their work and step away from it, even if it is, you know, it's not like 8 to 5 every day anymore with everything electronic now. But if you put time boundaries, at least for the dinner hour with your family, until, say, 8 o'clock at night, and then maybe another hour of work, it goes so much better when you have planned for what you're going to do outside of work. Typically, we're just planning for work, but I like to have people plan for a balanced life. And the first thing that comes up is, I don't know what I do outside work. I just want to sleep. I just want to do nothing. And once they have, okay, I think I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to start running with my buddy. I'm going to start going to the gym. That way they have something to look forward to, and their life starts to be more balanced. And then obviously they're more productive because they're more balanced. So time is important. It's a gift I have to look at somebody's time and their systems and tweak it to bring out the best in the person as well as the best of their system.
All right, great. We'll be taking a short break, but after that, we'll be discussing more about increasing productivity with Marsha Ramslin. Stay tuned to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. This is Christine Wong, and you're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. I'm speaking to Marsha Ramslin, organizing coach for business and life success. We're discussing her 30-day productivity boost program. So before the break, we were speaking about organizing your workplace and your workspace, and also about your time management. But now I just want to talk a little bit about the fact that in this day and age, as we've kind of discussed briefly already, it isn't just an 8 to 5 workday anymore. It's almost like a 24-hour workday because of your digital responsibilities. Let's put it that way.
Yes, very much it is. And you know, I think we have to almost set our own boundaries on those 24/7, but go ahead and ask your question. I think everyone is dealing with that feeling of, I never have downtime. I'm always on. There's always something more to do. And we need to counteract that.
Yeah. So you talk about organizing your digital world. How do you spruce up your digital presence?
The digital presence is really interesting. I had a client who showed up on Skype, and I looked at her picture, and she had short brown hair. And when it came for our client appointment, this girl showed up with long blonde hair, and I'm like, are you really Jennifer? And she said, yes. And I said, I think you changed your hairstyle, and be really good if you changed your picture on your Skype so that it reflects the professional that you are. So that was just kind of one extreme of someone who hadn't updated it, but it really reflects on it. So everything that goes on your social media, you want to go back and scroll through that. You want to put your name on Google and see what's there and see what's being projected. Look on LinkedIn, look on Facebook, on Twitter, and just see what's coming out. And maybe you have changed. Maybe you were, you know, putting all your family and girlfriend or boyfriend things on there, and you broke up with the person. Well, maybe it's time now that you're married to take that off, because believe it or not, employers and potential employers and bosses look at that, and they want to see if your life and your values reflect someone that they want in their company. So very important to do that. It's kind of like getting a new hairstyle, and you just want to get some new look to it. And so check yourself out. Be the person that you're stalking yourself online and see what that looks like. Also, look at your signature to see if it reflects the professional that you are. When I get emails of a solicitation for my website or my 9,000 blog list, and someone finds it, here's an article that I wrote, I really want you to do it, here's a product I want you to endorse, and they just sign their first name, I'm like, there is no way this person is credible enough if they don't have a signature, a phone number, ways to reach them. So be very important to not be just casual and put your first name, but have everything written after it. And if anybody writes me, they'll see, you know, I like a picture, I like a logo, I like a tagline, phone number, email, and that way the person can get back to you.
It's a lot of content that we don't think about, especially the email signature thing. I think a lot of people assume that that's just somewhere where you sign your name, right? But you can use that tool in order to really provide a lot of information about yourself that is pertinent to the people that you're contacting. So I think that is a really good tip as well. After doing all of that and sprucing up your digital presence, how does that actually contribute to a more productive workflow?
It gives you a personal brand. And when you are personally branded well and you like who you are and what you're doing, you're just more productive because you're focused. So you don't want to have a hobby over here and that's in your signature, but in your professional life, you're a vice president of something else or you're the owner of a company. You want to make sure that all of that digital presence really aligns with your values and who you are in the workplace. Productivity-wise, it just even helps you focus. You're looking at it every time you write an email. It's like a reminder. This is who I project to the world. This is who I am. And this is what my business is about. So you don't get off into many tangents.
Then in week 4, I believe, of your program, you move a little bit more from the professional aspect to the personal aspect. And you talk about improving your personal space. So can you talk to us a little bit more about that?
Yes, your personal space is the way you live at home. I talked to an American Express card marketing person. And she said, you know, at work, I'm overworked and I'm not too tidy there. And then I get home and there's a mess at home. She said, it's a double mess. And when you have that physical, quote, mess around you at home, you also carry that with you. One time I was going to speak on a Saturday morning. My husband was coming along to run the sound system to help out that day for the place I was speaking. And I started to make the bed before we were heading out the door. And he said, we got to go. He said, don't make the bed. I said, I have to. I thought about it. And I said, when I work orderly, I think orderly. And when I'm a speaker, I need to think orderly. And so it just took a minute and a half for everyone listening to make your bed every day. But you come back to 16 hours of order, and it feels like coming to a hotel when you come to your own bedroom to relax at night. So you really want to keep your closet organized so you can get dressed quickly in the morning. And then the kitchen, 2-minute pickup before you leave for work or before your home office. Spend 2 minutes and clean it up after every meal. You'll come back to order. And when you live in order, you start to think more orderly. And when you can think clearly, you can be more productive. So it's very important to have your home in order so that your work will go better. And it's not the time to blame someone else, your kids, your spouse, your roommate. You have to say, I'm responsible for what I'm living in. I need to take an hour or two on the weekend and just catch up every week so that everything is in order. It's like being a race car driver. You need your pit crew, so to speak, in order, which is your home base, so that you can take off. And my motto is, the faster the pace of your life, the more organized you need to be.
Wow, yeah. I definitely think that, you know, it makes a lot of logical sense. If your environment is orderly, then hopefully your thoughts can be in order as well. And for the final week of your program, you kind of move from just the general personal physical space to talking about your financial habits as well. What sort of financial habits do you talk about and how do they work alongside your productivity?
It's real important to have a system, a time system for your financial habits. So I find that people are often good at paying their bills. They know when their paycheck is and when it's going to come due. But it takes another time of the week where you're actually analyzing, looking over the credit cards and saying, okay, what am I doing here that I could be putting into savings? And thinking ahead into savings. There are so many people who are retiring now without a savings. They don't have enough money to retire, and so they're 65, they're 70, and they're looking for another job. Well, people didn't plan on doing that. 10 years ago, only 1 out of 4 people had to work in retirement. But now, it's almost 4 out of 10 people have to work in retirement because it's so easy to purchase, it's so easy to spend, and instead of thinking, what is my savings looking like? What is my, in America, the 401k, is this enough to retire on? Because if you retire, a lot of people are retiring late 50s or even sooner. Do I still have enough money for the next 30 years? So when I talk with people about their financial habits, we actually, if they want, I look at the finances and help them see where they could start making a change, where they could be talking to a financial planner, where they could be putting an account into savings. And that way, they feel like, I am working towards something I really want, instead of just using a checkbook balance to say, do I have money for this or do I not? No, don't live paycheck to paycheck. You need to live from decade to decade and keep increasing your savings. So one thing I have people do is pick a day of the week. So for instance, I had one entrepreneur who had the first Wednesday of the month where she downloaded all her business finances and got them straightened out. The next Wednesday, the second Wednesday of the month, she would analyze them and talk it over with her team and say, where can we adjust at least one thing to make a bigger savings? How can we cut costs here? Then the third Wednesday, she downloaded her personal finances, and the fourth Wednesday, she analyzed the personal finances. So I like weekly on Wednesdays or financial Fridays, if it's 1 or 2 Fridays a month, and that way you're actually looking at the finances, putting money into savings, seeing it grow every month. The important thing is the time and also the record keeping. And when you have that going, your life is working together, because there are two things we run out of at the end of life. One is health and one is finances. So be working on both of them now, and I love to help people put that piece together so that it's not just, is my home, is my closet, is my online presence, but also are my finances preparing for my future as well. And people are just thrilled with that, because no one ever sits with them about finances, and it's something that often you feel like, I don't know, I seem to be doing well, I have a good job, I'm doing fine. But having that long-term picture mapped out is really helpful to people, and that usually takes a monthly planning session. If you do it every month and just make one change a month in the right direction over a year, you're going to have more money than you thought you would.
All right, fantastic. I'm sure that our listeners will be able to hopefully pick up some of these tips and tricks and be able to apply them to their lives in order for them to feel a little bit more organized. That's about all the time we have. Thank you so much, Marcia, for speaking to us today.
It's so great to be here. And I have on my website a free download of 10 tips to increase your time and your bottom line. So it's a free download at organizingpro.com. And I hope you'll go and pick that up and connect with me. I'd love to put you through the 30-day productivity boost.
All right. This is Christine Wong. I've been speaking to Marcia Ramslin, organizing coach for business and life success on Raise Your Game. This has been Enterprise. Stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.